As in, I'm not going to start right away. Still got some people to catch up.
Okay. Going to Chicago on just gonna ask her. Just, yeah, we'll be back on Friday.
Sorry, will it be cooler there? It's nicer.
Yeah.
It's starting to get nicer. Let's see.
Yeah. But they have a lake over
there. It's really windy.
A little breeze.
Yeah.
Not quite as much humidity as we have. People are coming out of hearing.
Okay, I've got it set up to record.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gathering together. Give me another minute or so. Okay, everybody signed in. Going to take a minute to get ourselves grounded and centered. So you can close your eyes if you like. Take a couple of deep cleansing breaths. Allow yourself to soften. Be receptive. Knowing that each one of us is probably going to hear this lesson or respond to this lesson in a different way. There's no right or wrong with that, there's just an awareness. You don't have to push. You don't have to force anything to happen. But you can let it happen. Sometimes we call that surrender, letting go, release. And then we have that prayer we say, here in unity. And actually, Paul uses that in all of his introductory talks. We call it the prayer of protection. He doesn't name it, but it's the same words, same concept. And you can say this out loud or to yourself. The light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. So, good morning, wherever you are, and however you are. Anything left over from last week? you need to or want to explore or look at a little bit more closely. The floor is always open to that. And by the way, I'm always open if you want to email me or contact me some other ways if you have questions or something that needs to be understood a little bit more deeply. I can give you my impression. Not because we're all in this together. We're all learning this together. So I'm going to begin on page 17 of the book we're using right now called The Book of Innocence. And as we begin with that, why don't you ask yourself the question, what does it mean to be innocent? And just notice how you respond to that, or how your mind responds to that. And know that what we are dealing with here in the work we are doing on Sunday mornings is we are working on, put it very simply, working on seeing ourselves and seeing the world differently. So that we might know that we are all divine beings here on planet Earth. But how often during a day do we remember that? And even when we do remember it, does it make a whole lot of difference about how I respond to everybody else? And I'm not saying that as a judgment, because I'm working on this one myself. All I'm suggesting is that instead of just putting on a new pair of glasses and seeing the world differently, how can we know that the world is different than the one we see? How can we know that the people around us are different than what we see through our physical eyes? So my prayer quite often, when I remember it, is, Lord, that I may see. Help me to see myself as you see me. Help me to see other people as you see them. Help me see the world differently. Help me see the world the way you see it. Help me see the possibilities that exist here for growth, for transformation, for healing. And I ask my own forgiveness for the times when I have failed to do that. Again, not as a judgment, but as a realization. I often wonder as I do these classes on Sunday morning, and so on Tuesday evening, is how often during a day do I put this into practice? And if I'm like you or you're like me, you're going to forget a lot. And that's okay. When you come to the realization that you've been living in forgetfulness or unawareness, we might say, the key element here is becoming grateful that you're aware again, not beating yourself up for becoming unaware. Page 17. Some of you say, I like who I am. There's nothing I wish to change, thank you. By the way, I don't know anybody like that. Some of you say, I like who I am. There's nothing I wish to change, thank you. But this is not about changing. It's about recognizing where aspects of self have been ruling a small country and mayhem has ensued. The higher alignment will guarantee one thing, that you are no longer choosing in fear. I am no longer choosing in fear. And this choice alone, to hold this level of tone, will alter the landscape you express through. The idea of self you see, known through and born in separation, equivocally claims itself as separate from the source because it holds no other bounty. Why would not the one who believes there will not be enough scavenge for further, for more, for gain more, to only to realize the fruits are nothing? Most of us have already come to the conclusion that we've been looking for love in all the wrong places. That what we think is going to satisfy us, that what we think is going to give us peace, doesn't work. And again, that's not a judgment, that's a realization. If it doesn't work anymore, why keep doing it? I even forget to ask that question sometimes. If it's not working, why keep doing it? And so we are being asked again to look at ourselves, to look at life, to look at the people around us in a way that is different. I know, when I recall this, I know I am a divine child of God. I know I am a unique expression of divine life. So are you. No matter what disguise you may present, no matter how you might show up on television, no matter how you might show up in newspapers, no matter how you might show up in, you know, on the computer, doesn't matter. However you are showing up, if I don't see you as a unique expression of divine consciousness, then there's something I need to work on. There's something I need to transform, something I need to do something about. Not changing you, and not changing me so much either, but allowing myself to change, allowing myself to heal, allowing myself to see you differently. When the true self claims things or moves towards manifestation, it is operating from a different sphere, a recognition of source and abundance in source. When we speak of manifestation, most of the time we're thinking in terms of, like that book, The Secret. We're thinking in terms of creating something that's not there yet. But the manifestation they are talking about here is a deeper realization of what already exists. So there is a viewpoint, there is an awareness of a world being at peace. There is an awareness of the possibility of a world that lives in unconditional love. If we didn't believe that, I don't think we would be here on Sunday morning. Now, you might have a lot of things that seem to interfere with that belief. There might be a lot of things that come up and you say, well, yeah, gosh, you know, there never has been such a thing called world peace. What makes me think it can happen now? So there are going to be a lot of challenges that come around in our work on manifestation of something that already exists. But the work can be done lovingly, not judgmentally. The work can be done, I won't say easily so much, but the work can be done with a sense of loving purpose rather than something that I did wrong or something that's wrong with me or something that's wrong with you. Lord, that I may I see myself the way you see me. May I see others the way you see them. May I see the world the way you see it. When the true self, the higher self, the Christ consciousness, claims things or moves towards manifestation, it is operating from a different sphere, a recognition of source and abundance in source. Abundance. What we are looking for is already here. We are not creating something new. And the true self, when recognized as the dominant source of your experience here, will begin to claim many things that you did not believe you could hold. The true self recognized as the dominant source, the little self or the small self or the ego consciousness or the personality self doesn't disappear. We don't throw it away. But instead of being the dominant force that controls our lives, controls our sight, controls our belief system, it becomes secondary to the divine consciousness that is much more the truth of who you are. When recognized as the dominant source of your experience here, will begin to claim many things that you did not believe you could hold. How is it possible for me to love this person whom I can't stand? That's what my small self asks that question, my personality, my ego consciousness. How can I possibly love? And my divine self says, you can. First of all, you need to believe that you can. Believe in the possibility that you can see the Christ in this person. Like that wonderful quote from Mother Teresa, where she was asked one time, what is your purpose in life? She said, my purpose in life is to see the Christ in all his distressing disguises. And there's a lot of distressing disguises out there. And they can fool us, or we can be fooled by them. Can I see through the mask? Can I see through the disguise to the truth of who you are? And that's my prayer. That's my manifestation. You will begin to claim many things that you did not believe you could hold. What does that mean, he asked. The one who feels denied in love may know love in a new way, a new way. As in 12-step recovery programs, one of the things called the 12 promises, you will know a new happiness, a new joy, a new peace, and a new happiness, a new freedom, and a new happiness. So your old idea of freedom, your old idea of happiness, we're not going to throw it away, but we're going to go above that. What does that really mean, a new freedom and a new happiness? It's going to be different from the old idea of freedom and the old idea of happiness. You may learn love in a new way. The one who believes she would never be recognized for her work may discover recognition, not in a way that appeases the structure of the ego, but in a way that supports the identity and further sharing of her abilities. The one who believed she would never be recognized for her work may discover recognition, not in a way that appeases the structure of the ego, but in a way that supports the identity and further sharing of our abilities. Let's suppose you wrote a book and it was good, but never quite made it, never quite sold the way you thought it would. Does that mean something was wrong with it, something was bad about it? Or can I see that in a different way? That somehow or another, this book that might not have made it in the material world touched a whole lot of people. And those people that were touched touched a whole lot of people. And they might not even know where the wisdom or where the ideas came from. But it's there anyway. You may know. The one who believes she would never be recognized for her work in the material world, discover recognition, not in a way that appeases the structure of the ego, but in a way that supports the identity and further sharing of our abilities. Each of you says yes at the level you can hold, and the manifestation that occurs from the upper room are always congruent to what identity knows and is agreed to. The truth of who you are is always the truth of who you are, even when you forget it. And the truth of who you are is continually manifesting from that sense of truth, constantly manifesting peace, joy, forgiveness, harmony, you name it. It's constantly flowing. Even when you forget. Even when I forget. So what would it be like to realize that every moment of every day, whether you remember it or not, you are a unique expression of divine consciousness? And then notice what a difference it would make if you realize that every moment of every day. You're not creating a new truth, you're recognizing a truth that already exists. Now, some of you desire wealth. There's not a thing wrong with wealth. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. It is simply something else you might learn through. When you desire wealth or something in the material world, you are desiring from a sense of lack or a sense of scarcity. That's certainly something we can learn something from. John D. Rockefeller was once asked, "How much is enough money?" You know what he said? "Just a little bit more." And that's attachment. How much is enough money? Just a little bit more. And see, it's never going to be enough. You might learn through. You might as well begin to understand that any teaching of abundance need not exclude wealth. But if it is a true teaching, it is not about wealth. Wealth may be an occurrence, but the true teaching is the comprehension that source is all God, is all things, and all things may be claimed in source. But you are not striving for wealth. You do the work before you, perhaps, if there is work to be done, in an awareness of the fruits of your work. But you are not doing this work in order to achieve as much as receive. And once you understand the difference here, it is far easier to partake in the great banquet that is laid before you. There's a gospel story of, sometimes referred to as the rich young man. When he came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, what must I do to be perfect? What must I do to be part of this path?" And Jesus said, "Obey the commandments." He said, "I already do that." He said, "If you will be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." And then it said, he walked away sadly because he had many possessions. Now that could be attachment to anything. This is talking about attachment to wealth, to money. And that always struck me as being so sad. But then I have to remember, how many times have I turned away? Because I had many attachments. And that's what Jesus was asking. Let go of your attachment. If you want to follow me, you can't follow me with a whole bunch of attachments. Because what followed from that was that one of the apostles said, "Well, can a rich man ever enter the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus replied, "It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven." And they said, "Well, the hell? What are we going to do, man?" Well, what we didn't realize is that there was a gateway in the wall of Jerusalem, the holy city, which was called the eye of a needle. What used to happen was the camel could only pass through on its knees, couldn't pass through when it was standing up. So it had to get on its knees and sort of shuffle through. It was difficult, but not impossible. What is holding me back? What is getting in my way of the realization of the truth of who I am? What am I attached to that I don't need to be? What am I attached to that is keeping me from the whole of the true realization of the truth of who I am? You might as well begin to understand that any teaching of abundance need not exclude wealth. But if it's a true teaching, it is not about wealth. It doesn't exclude wealth, but it's not about wealth either. It doesn't exclude attachments, but it's not about attachments. Wealth may be an occurrence, but the true teaching is comprehension that God is the source of all things, that all things may be claimed in God, in love. But you are not striving for wealth. He did not work before you, the work before you. You do the work before you, perhaps, if there is work to be done, in an awareness of the fruits of your work. What am I really shooting for here? I want wealth so I can be comfortable, so I don't have to worry, so I don't have to be fearful. Ah. Now, is there something else that might allow me not to be full of worry or fear, other than just money? That's where the question is. Not making something bad, but if it's money or wealth that we're after, we're probably going to wind up in the same place John D. Rockefeller wound up in. It's never going to be enough. It's going to be satisfactory for a while, but not enough. Once you realize you are doing this work in order to achieve as much as receive, and once you understand the difference here, it is far easier to partake in the great banquet that is laid before you. Seek ye first, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all things else will follow. You want riches? Here it is. You want joy? Here it is. You want peace? Here it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all things else will follow. What does that mean, he asks? Well, imagine there is a table where everyone may be fed, where there is no lack. The awareness of this table is the awareness of bounty. When you take a seat at this table, you have what you need. You don't pile your plate too high. You don't shove some food in your pocket to save for a later day. You understand that the table is there, and all who have agreed to this table are present and partaking of the bounty therein. When you comprehend that what expresses at this table are all things that may be known, you will understand that what is before you is what is required for you the day you sit in or the moment you sit in. The idea of the day as period of time is useful primarily as a metaphor. Give us this day, this time, this experience of being. It is not sunrise or sunset as much as the moment you sit in, which is, of course, the only moment that God may be known. Do you have enough right now, this moment? Might not have it 5 minutes from. Do you have what you need? Do you have what you want? Do you have what can bring you joy or bring you peace in this moment? And of course, when I stop and put the brakes on and live in this present particular moment, it's always yes, yes I do, yes I do, indeed. Now the little self wants to say, well, how can I create this same state of peacefulness 5 minutes from now, or 10 minutes from now, 15? Stop. The only question that can be asked and the only question that can be answered is, how can I do this right now? Or can I do this right now? Or can I experience this in this moment? me do one more paragraph here. Sorry, I'm talking a lot this morning. That's because I have a lot to learn this morning. Now, when you understand that the gift of the kingdom is not what is in the kingdom, but the experience of the kingdom, you will not put the cart before the horse any longer. The gift of the kingdom is not what is in the kingdom, but the experience of the kingdom. The difference between someone saying, "I love you," and you hearing the words and saying, "Oh, that's nice." The difference between that and somebody saying, "I love you," and you opening yourself up to the experience of being loved, there's the difference. One's an idea, nice idea. One's a nice thought. But the other one is an acceptance of a truth that is much larger than just a thought and just an idea. It is allowing myself to experience that. So this is not, so the kingdom of heaven is not a storehouse of wealth. It is an experience of wealth and well-being, which happens, can only happen right here, right now, in this moment. Those of you who strive for things, who believe God is a gift that gives what you want, will be surprised with the ease that manifestation occurs when you have simply gone into agreement with Source itself, and the alignment to Source provides what is required. So instead of desiring wealth, or instead of getting wealth in the way you think you ought to get it, when I align myself to divine truth, to the divine truth of who I am, it's already there. There's no need for want or desiring wealth, because I am already satisfied. I have enough. I am enough. What is required is in many ways the byproduct of your expression of the being you are, and the necessities, requirements that are needed at this juncture, in this moment of receptivity. When you ask us this question, "Will my marriage last? Will my child be happy?" we answer as we are allowed. We do not intervene in your personal lives as much as remind you who you are and what you may claim therein. You can claim the perfect relationship. You can claim peacefulness for your child. So your child's also going to need to accept that. So from everything we talked about this morning, or I talked about this morning, what would you say is the core lesson? If somebody would say, "What did you do on Sunday? What was the core lesson of what came about on Sunday morning for you?" What would you say? Hold that thought. I guess for me, the core lesson is to let go of desire, to let go of need, to let go of scarcity, to allow myself to be in the experience of, let's call it, enoughness. To be in the experience of enoughness and to be in the present moment. To be in the experience and the present moment of enoughness. And to dedicate myself this day to be in that experience. Whether that happens to be the way I look at or perceive another person, whether that happens to be how I look at it, how I perceive myself, whether that has to do with me perceiving the world in general, that I can perceive the world that I live in or my perception of the world that I live in can be one of abundance, can be one of healing, can be one of trust, can be one of love, can be one of joy. And my little self goes, but, all these other, can bring up, well, what about people in Gaza? What about this? What about that? So we're not ignoring that. But you know, my anger and my hurt and my not enoughness is not going to create enoughness, and is not going to create peace, and is not going to create joy. What is going to create peace, what is going to create joy, what is going to create enoughness is my aligning myself to the source, to God, to the source of love, of who, the truth of who I really am. That's where all of those gifts flow to and from. And everyone you meet today, when you are open to it, is going to be touched by that truth. So I'm going to ask you to put your books down for a moment. Just allow yourself to get comfortable in your space. Take a couple of deep breaths. Close your eyes, if not closed already. And see, notice how you resonate with these words. I am at peace. I am at peace. Anything that gets in the way of my sense of peacefulness, I release now in love. I am living, I am alive in this present moment. I have everything I need in this present moment. I live in abundance in this present moment. I invite all beings to be in a similar state of consciousness where there is no lack, where there is only abundance, where there is joy, where there is enough, where I am enough and you are enough as well. And allow yourself to experience that all through your being, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Allow that to touch every cell and fiber of your being. To resonate for a moment with the question that I asked in the beginning of our class this morning. What does it mean to be innocent? What does it mean to be innocent? to know that all of my needs are being met, that there are no choices that I need to make in fear or lack or doubt. I am open to the light. I am open to love. I am open to peace. I am open to joy. I am open to abundance. Notice the rhythm of your breathing, the rhythm of your heartbeat. Your oneness with all beings. And open your heart in gratitude to all the abundance that is here for you this day. Another deep breath. Stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here. Hope you have a great week. Bye.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Great meeting.
Take good care of yourself.
You too.
And take care of one another as well.
Peace.